So welcome, everybody, and thank you for coming. I'm going to introduce the people that are going to be speaking, and then after everyone's spoken, we'll be available for you to come and talk to us individual questions. To my left is Jerry Flanagan, who is the foundation. Are you the president of the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights? He's speaking on their behalf. Next to him, is Colleen Fuller, who is president of PharmaWatch. And at the very end of the table is Dr. Smith, who will also be speaking, and behind us, who will be coming forward to speak, are Barry and Sharon Fowler, who are from the small business owners from the American, somewhere in the United States, and Carla Kokobute, who is just a passenger on the Consumer Express. So, yeah, sorry. And Jerry, do you want to take it away?
Jerry Flanagan, J-E-R-R-Y-F-L-A-N-A-G-A-N. I'm a consumer advocate with the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights, which is a nonpartisan and nonprofit consumer group based in California, but works throughout the United States on health care and other consumer issues. Make some brief remarks. As you all know, we have spent the last 4 days traveling from parts of California, about a dozen cities throughout the state of California, Oregon, and the state of Washington, picking up passengers, including seniors and retirees and small business owners and patients from every background. The one thing they do have in common is that they are facing deep out-of-pocket costs for their prescription drugs. And sometimes we know in the United States it can get as bad that the seniors, one out of four, in fact, must often choose between paying for the prescriptions and paying for other staples like food and rent. It's not uncommon for seniors to get their medications and have to cut them in half in order to make a medication last or for the duration or skip meals, et cetera. We'll have a couple of the folks speak today, but if you're interested in to read more about their stories and about the perspectives of the American healthcare system, our website, consumerwatchdog.org, provides a profiles of the writers. I want to say to the Canadian public directly, you should hopefully realize how lucky you are in terms of access to lower-cost medications and healthcare in general, but don't let that just be the limit. We want you to be the leaders in terms of improving healthcare, and don't make our mistakes. Moves to privatize healthcare and allow pharmaceutical companies and HMOs and health insurers to set policies and set rates based on whatever their profit motives are versus what are the good of the patients is really bankrupting the healthcare system in the U.S. A couple quick statistics about the trip and about what we saved. The riders in the Arcs Express who purchased prescription drugs saved an average of 58.9% on their prescriptions, and these are the exact same medications that the seniors and others purchased in the United States. On average, if that savings was applied for an entire year, the riders would save an average of $2,000 a year for their medications. Not only does that help them provide the medications they need, but it will also, if we imported the policy of negotiated rates into the United States, we could help stabilize the healthcare system and have more money to provide more access to healthcare. Canadians know, but the rest of the United States should know, is that Canadians get a good rate for healthcare and the prescription drugs because rates are negotiated on behalf of all patients, utilizing the sort of a bulk purchasing or a negotiated discount model. In the United States, pharma companies are allowed to charge whatever they want, and in fact, in a recent Medicare law, the Medicare program was specifically banned from negotiating discounts for prescription drugs, which is absolutely absurd and a true giveaway to pharmaceutical companies who made major campaign contributions in order to benefit themselves from the pharmaceutical legislation, and they very well may be the only ones that have benefited. We invited President Bush and Senator Kerry to join us. They have not, or we're still waiting for them potentially to pull up outside to come in and hear from patients, and they may, or they may on the next trip, because the issue of health care and prescription drugs is a defining element in the current presidential election, and the bar that we're setting for those candidates is for everyone to endorse a program that would negotiate prescription drug rates on behalf of all patients in the U.S. regardless of age. This is a market-savvy strategy that is absolutely consistent with capitalism and negotiating deep rates. This is the consumers working together to get the best price. And the only reason not to do it is a political reason, and that's because the pharmaceutical companies would rather charge whatever they want. And I think I will end there, and then we'll have some writers come up and make a few remarks afterwards.
Thank you. My name is Colleen Fuller, C-O-L-L-E-E-N, Fuller, F-U-L-L-E-R. I'm a co-founder and president of PharmaWatch, which is a nonprofit, nonpartisan consumer watchdog. We promote safe drugs and affordable drugs in Canada. I'm going to make just a few comments. The issue of safe and affordable drugs is an international issue. It's not just an American issue or a Canadian issue. Americans are looking for safe and more affordable drugs in Canada, but Americans don't need Canadian drugs. They need Canadian drug policies. And they need those policies only as a starting point because we have some weaknesses in our policy arena as well. But the types of policies that the Americans who are coming here over the last couple of days to purchase drugs, the policies that they're benefiting from include, first of all, a lower Canadian dollar. This is an obvious advantage for Americans who are coming to buy medicine here. The second is the policies that we have that exercise some control over the prices of drugs. We have a price review system in Canada at the federal level, which enables the federal government to basically negotiate the prices of prescription drugs with individual pharmaceutical manufacturers. We also, at the provincial level, promote a higher use of generic drugs in Canada through the provincial pharmacare programs, and this really reduces substantially the overall cost of drugs and the price that individuals pay. So, and the fourth policy that we benefit from is the ban on direct-to-consumer advertising in Canada, which adds substantially to the cost price of drugs that Americans pay. So these are some of the strengths in our system, but we also have some problems, obviously. Canadians know that we are also paying too high prices. For example, the price that we pay for generic drugs in Canada is too high, and we need to extend the same kinds of policies that govern brand name drugs to generics in terms of the prices. We need a national pharmacare program in Canada that is based on the principles of universality that we have in our Medicare program. And this has to be accompanied by very aggressive bargaining for lower prices by the federal government. We also need to change the whole regime around drug patents in Canada. This is really causing us a lot of problems in Canada, these extended 20-year patents on brand name pharmaceuticals. And finally, I would just like to say that in 1966, we introduced universal Medicare in Canada, and we need to extend the principles of universal Medicare to one of the most important parts of our medical system, which is drug therapy, drugs. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Dr. Paul Smith, P-A-U-L-S-M-I-T-H, and I'm part of this experience with other frail senior citizens because a political gesture wants to be made. We would like this advocacy effort to compel changes in the public policy regarding medications in our own country, the United States of America. The opposition in this effort is Big Pharma, which is all of the consortium of the big drug companies, and they have an extremely powerful, extremely well-funded lobbying effort, and which as an advocacy body, this or other agencies do not have. And one canard that I think should be shot down is reimportation, which is a word that is in everybody's lips. And it is a very powerful image because it conveys the impression that drugs are made in the United States export it to Canada, and then re-import it to the United States. Now, all of us know that, or we should know, that that's not how big business works. It outsources. So a medication might be made in another country, let's say Ireland, for example, and the production line will be making a drug, and part of the production line will take this route and go into bottles destined for the United States, or may take that route for prescription bottles that are destined for Canada. But in Canada, the prescription is has a drug identification number, which is unique in the system. That doesn't exist for anybody else, and that's a plus because it ensures greater safety by being there. So the drugs are not re-imported. They are imported. Ludicrous to think that Canada, with its population of, let's say, 30 million people, can produce enough drugs or has enough drugs to supply the United States with 300 million people. So the effort is not to import drugs, but to import the policies which, unfortunately, exist in the United States, but presently are limited. For example, the Veterans Administration in the United States allows for negotiated prices, whereas Medicare, which addresses all of the seniors and disabled people in the United States, does not. In fact, it specifically prohibits the Secretary of Health and Human Services to negotiate prices. And I guess if only that restriction were lifted, there's no reason to think that the United States would not benefit from negotiated prices as well, just like Canada's, and perhaps because of the volume, perhaps even a little better than Canada. So I think I'll stop that discussion there, and we can come to it a little bit later if you so desire. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Sharon Fowler, Sharon Fowler, from San Diego. My husband here is sitting beside me, Barry Fowler. I'm sure he'll introduce himself also. We started the RX Express in San Diego. We were the first to board, and we're here representing the small business person and the self-employed person, so we're a little bit different than some of our fellow passengers here, and that we're drawing attention to some of the problems that we've encountered along the way. One is, I had a small business with two employees. There was no way in our system that I could afford health insurance for them, even though I wanted to. A very small company, there's a lot of us like that. There's even some companies being driven out of, this is California, perhaps issue, out of our state because of some of the costs. Also, kind of coming full circle, my business was put out of business in March of this year by a 5.5 month strike against Ralph's Grocery Store. I think there were 70,000 people involved in the clerk's strike. I was a sole vendor to Ralph's for my product, and so for 5.5 months I had no business. I had to lay off my employees in December and finally close my business in March right before the strike was over and really couldn't recover. So it's kind of come full circle for me, the whole health issue. The other thing is, as self-employed people, we have to figure out where to get our insurance and how to afford it. Once we're in an insurance company, we can't really change, because there's no employer to go to. So whether or not we like the plan we're with, we work with it, and we have learned to stand up for ourselves within our plan and demand what we pay for. And we're hoping here to focus on that. We support this group for lower prescription rates, bulk purchasing in our nation, which will help lower our costs overall, maybe help small businesses afford insurance for their employees. And we want everybody to stand up, stop being complacent, and demand that we have a watchdog commission to look over our insurance, health insurance plan, as well as let's get a bulk purchasing program going. We're going home from here and start a grassroots organization with the help with Jerry Flanagan's, and we're going to get something done, and we're going to do it as soon as we can. Thank you. Here's my husband, Barry, to say a few words.
Hi. My name is Barry Fowler, B-A-R-R-Y-F-O-W-L-E-R. There's not really a lot that I can add to what Sharon said. just to repeat that it was very ironic that she had a business that she couldn't afford to buy medical insurance for her employees, and then her customer, her sole customer with 70,000 employees, went on strike. And the very reason they went on strike was to improve their medical benefits that were being taken away from them. So it's an ironic situation. We're happy to be invited on the trip to support the Foundation for Taxpayers and Consumer Rights to help educate and inform and even motivate the American public. We're kind of in this mess because of the growing complacency in America, and it takes efforts like this to inform people, to get them actively involved. My major point is the fact that as American citizens, we are not knocking on our leaders' doors. We're not writing letters. We're not protesting. There's a saying that in Washington, D.C., every door has a for sale sign on it. If we're not knocking on those doors, we know who is, and that's special interest. When we have a situation where the elderly and the people who most need medical care in our country cannot be represented fairly, because our own legislature, our own Senate, our own Congress have prevented bulk purchasing, the very thing that you have in Canada. And so we would like the American people to be less complacent, knock on those doors. You may not have a pocket full of money, but you do have something more important, and that's your vote. These people can be fired very easily if you don't vote for them. And we also would like to see a watchdog committee set up. Like any other industry, auto insurance, any other industry, there's an organization that oversees those industries and makes sure that they're not gouging the public. And we'd like to see that in the total American medical industry. Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Carla Coco Boutte. That's C-A-R-L-A, C-O-C-O hyphen B-O-U-T-T-E. And I am possibly a little atypical of the general riders of the RX Express in that I am slightly younger. I am 51 years old and was employed in the airline industry by the major carrier in the U.S. for nearly 25 years. So as long as I was employed, I paid my portion of my health care benefits and received them until about 7 years ago when I was injured on the job. And as a result of that injury, I apparently cost my company too much money, or the insurance carrier too much money. So I was fired after that long extended period of time and left with no benefits whatsoever. I have since become eligible for Social Security disability, which also gives me access to Medicare, but Medicare does not help as far as my drugs are concerned. And this is not really that unusual, to find oneself in a position where you're not old enough for one category and you still have nothing left from whatever it is that you've paid into for many years. So I needed to be here. I did return to school, to law school, as a result of all that's happened, with the hope that maybe I can be an advocate and make some changes for all of us. But the most important change has to come through bulk purchasing. As Dr. Smith mentioned, we know that it's a doable thing. We know that Medicare in the United States can do a bulk purchase arrangement for all of its citizens and save us all money, but that would in fact cut into the 600-800% profit that the pharmaceutical companies make. And as long as we have special interest, and as long as there is corporate greed, which is a major problem in our country, I don't see that happening. So we have to get out, we have to make our wishes known, and arrange for something that we know is possible. We know that it can be done. You guys do it, so we should be able to accomplish the same thing. And I thank you.
So, and that's the end of the speakers. People will be available to you for comment as you wish. Thank you.